Now we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting tonight are the final words there of verse number 17 of 1 Peter chapter number 4. It says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Now, the gospel is the good news of God's love for a world that is lost and a world that is perishing in sin. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Also, we can say that the gospel is a message that freely offers to all the wonderful gift of everlasting life through faith in Christ the Savior. The Bible says, "And whosoever will, let him take off the water of life freely." Indeed, we can say tonight that all who hear the gospel, they have a responsibility to heed the gospel. What does it mean to heed the gospel? That really means a person trusting Christ as their Savior and repenting of their sin. And my, whenever the gospel is, be it known, be it in written form, or be it through the preaching of God's word, the response to that message is always twofold. There are those who receive it and they become Christians. And they begin a new life for Christ and a new life for God. While on the other hand, there are those and they despise it. And they continue on living a sinful life. Now it is this latter group of people that Peter here is speaking about in the words of our text this evening. And the final words here of verse 17 of 1 Peter chapter 4. And he says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" People here, I believe we have a most solemn question. This question really means, what is the outcome for those who reject the gospel? What is the end for those who willingly turn their back upon the blessings of the gospel? What are the consequences for those who will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? My, if we are to rightly answer this question, then we must look away from what man would say, and from what man would think, and from what ideas man might have. And instead, you and I must listen to the Bible. We must listen to God's infallible word. In the book of Isaiah, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, than my thoughts than your thoughts." We must listen, not to man, not to what we think, but to what God says is the end of those who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our text asks the question, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And answering this solemn question from the Bible, there are three things that I want you to note and I want to set before you tonight. And if you're not saved, oh, that God would speak to you, that you would realize the solemnity of this matter, that even tonight you would seek the Lord for salvation. First of all, we can say that the end of those who do not obey the gospel, it is one of condemnation. It is one of condemnation. Turn with me in your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter number 3. The third chapter of the Gospel of John, that very well-known, very familiar chapter about Nicodemus, Christ meeting with him. And look at what is said in the latter part of verse number 18 of John chapter 3. It says there in the latter part of verse 18 of John chapter 3, "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He that believeth not, says the Scriptures, is condemned already. There you see very clearly that the person who rejects the gospel,
The person who refuses to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they are condemned already. They are under the condemnation of a holy God, under the condemnation of Almighty God, the eternal God of heaven, the creator of the universe. That leads us surely to ask the question, what does it mean for an individual to be under the condemnation of God? Well, to be under God's condemnation really means a life without the forgiveness of sins. It means a life without peace with God. It means a life without salvation. You see, those wonderful blessings of pardon for sin and peace with God and salvation, they are all blessings that are linked with Jesus Christ, the only Savior of a sinful man. You remember the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He said of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And there he speaks of the forgiveness of sins through Christ, through the blood of Christ. Again, think of what the word of God says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there again, you see the blessing of peace with God. It is linked to Christ. The two go hand in hand. Again, you think of the words of Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, speaking of Christ. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And there again, you see that salvation is linked to Christ. It is through Christ. Therefore, whenever a person does not trust Christ as Savior, they have no pardon. They have no forgiveness of sins. They have no peace with God. They are without salvation. And dear friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this, that if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not trusted Christ as Savior, then your sins still stand as a barrier between you and God, your Maker, your Creator. My, if you have not obeyed the gospel and have not trusted Christ as Savior, as you sit in this meeting, the Bible says you are without peace with God. You have no salvation in your heart and life and soul. You see, our sins can only be pardoned through the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that it cleanseth us from all sin. My only true Christ, can we know peace with God? The Bible speaks of Christ and says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And only through Christ can we obtain God's salvation. Listen to the words of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 21 and 22. He says there, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And there we see very clearly, dear friends, in this meeting tonight, that it is only through Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that you and I can enter and can obtain and partake of God's salvation. Without Christ the Savior, we have no pardon for sin. We have no peace with God. We have no part in God's salvation. Many years ago, there was once two ships, and they collided in the Atlantic Ocean. And one of them sank with the loss of many lives on board. And the reason for such a loss was that those people, instead of putting on their life jackets, at that time they put on their money belts. And it said that the weight of their money brought them down to a watery grave. And you know, that's really a picture of many in our world tonight. Such have refused God's salvation. They are without God's salvation, and they are perishing under the condemnation of their sin. Why? Because they've rejected Christ. They have rejected the gospel and Christ as Savior. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, realize this, to refuse the gospel means that you're still under God's condemnation. Tell me, is that a picture of one in our meeting tonight? The end of those that obey not the gospel of God, it is one of condemnation. Friend unsaved, that's a picture of you in the gospel meeting tonight. That's what the Word of God says. He that believeth not, the Bible says, is condemned already. But then in the second place, we can say further tonight that the end of those that do not obey the gospel, it is one of separation. It is one of separation. Turn with me in your Bible back to the book of the Psalms, Psalm number 37, and you'll see this for yourself from the Word of God. Psalm number 37, and look with me, please, at the verse number 28 of that chapter. Psalm 37, verse number 28. Here the psalmist is speaking. It's a psalm of David. And in verse 28 of Psalm 37, he says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." Isn't that a wonderful promise, child of God? The Lord forsaketh not his saints. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He says they are preserved forever. Notice God saves. He preserves. He keeps his people forever. But then look at the final statement of verse 28. It says there, "But the seed of the wicked," notice the words, "shall be cut off." That speaks of separation. The wicked that are mentioned there in that verse speaks of those who live in rebellion to God. Those who reject the gospel, those who reject the Son of God, it says there, such shall be cut off. Such shall be separated from God Almighty. And can I say that is how it is for all who end their days, whoever they are, refusing the gospel. They are cut off from God, severed from God. And they're also severed from God's people. They are shut out of God's heaven. And can I say that is how it will be for any one of us who end our days turning our back upon the gospel. We will be separated from God forever, separated from His people forever, and separated from His heaven forever. This is the awful end for those that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one of separation from God, from His people in heaven, and from the glory of heaven forever. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and the verses 7 and 9, those verses there are speaking about the return of Christ and what will happen at the return of Christ, especially regarding those who have not hearkened to the gospel message, have not heeded the gospel message. And listen to what Paul says there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." And then he says this, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." There he speaks very specifically about those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that verse 9 there of 2 Thessalonians, he says of what will happen to them at the return of Christ. He says, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from," notice it, "the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Again, that speaks of separation from God, from Christ. It speaks of being cut off from Christ. It speaks of being cast off, of being separated from God and from Christ forever. What an awful thing for a person to be found out of Christ at the return of Christ on the day of Christ's judgment. What an awful thing to be found in that place, in that predicament. Friend, be under no illusion tonight. Without Christ as Savior, you will be eternally separated from God at the return of Christ. That's why the Bible says, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, the hymn writer warns of this when he says, "Out of Christ without a Savior, lonely and dark that way." And that lonely, dark way, it speaks of separation from God at the return of Christ. Friend, will that be you? Cut off from the presence of the Lord, separated from Christ, His people, His kingdom, forever and ever, at the return of Christ.
You go back to that passage that we read earlier there in Matthew chapter 25. It deals with the end of time, the return of Christ. If you look at verse number 32 of that chapter, it speaks there of how God's people will be separated from the Christ rejecter on the day of judgment when Christ returns. And look at what Christ says there about this very fact. In verse number 32, he says, "And before him," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall be gathered all nations." No one will be exempt here. "And he shall separate them one from another," notice it, "as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Who are the sheep? They are God's people. Those who are saved by sovereign grace. Those who are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Who are the goats? They are those who foolishly in life have refused the gospel and refused Christ and turned their back upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Oh, friend, in our meeting tonight, should you be found without Christ as Savior on the day of judgment, you'll be found among the goats. That's what the Bible says. You'll be forever separated from the Lord, cut off from the Lord, separated forever from his people, separated forever from his heaven, from his kingdom. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And there Christ makes it absolutely plain and clear that the person who heeds not the gospel, whoever they are, will never be in God's heaven. He says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He says in John 8, verse 22, "To such, whither I go," he says, "ye cannot come." You will never be in heaven. Oh, friend, if you're found out of Christ as Savior on the day of judgment when he returns in power and in great glory, you'll be separated from him forever. You'll be separated from God forever, from his heaven, from his people. You'll be forever shut out from the kingdom of God. See the seriousness of this question, the solemnity of it. What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Yes, it is one of condemnation. It is one of separation. But then in the final instance, we want to say tonight that the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God, it is one of judgment. It is one of judgment. Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 1. The book of Romans, Romans chapter number 1. I want you to look at one verse here in Romans chapter 1, and you'll see this, and also from what is said in two verses in Romans chapter 2. Look at Romans chapter 1 and the verse number 18. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth." In other words, who despise the truth of God, the truth of the gospel, who hold the truth on righteousness. And the wrath of God there speaks of God's judgment upon such. Go on over to the next chapter, Romans chapter 2, and you'll see the same again in verses 8 and 9 of Romans chapter 2. It says, "But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness," notice their portion. Their portion, what is it? It will be one of indignation and wrath. Not man's indignation, not man's wrath, but the indignation of God. The wrath of God. Verse 9 says, "Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile." There again, you notice the reference is made to those, it says, who do not obey the truth. Who are those who do not obey the gospel? Who turn their back upon the gospel? Who reject the gospel? It's an awful thing for a person to turn their back upon the gospel. Such, they believe the lie of the devil. They believe a false gospel. Such think that they do not need the gospel, that the gospel is for some other people, some other race, some other community. But notice what is said there in verse 9 of Romans chapter 2. Mention is made, it says, "Of the Jew and to the Gentile," it says, "tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile." That really refers to all mankind, Jew and Gentile alike.
all of every race and color and creed and class. No exceptions here, no exemptions here. It says there, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Whoever that person is, wherever they are to be found, who turn their back upon the gospel, who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the end of such who turn away from the gospel is that they will experience eternal judgment and hell, eternal punishment and hell. The Bible talks about the wrath of God. And that's where the wrath of God is poured out in a lost sinner's hell. And on the day of judgment, such will hear that awful sentence from the very lips of Christ himself when he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They will be sentenced to divine, everlasting, eternal judgment for sin and hell. You go back again to that passage we read earlier to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 25. Look at what is said about such there in verse number 41 and also verse number 46 of Matthew chapter 25. Verse 41 of Matthew chapter 25 says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Notice it, prepared for the devils and his angels. That's the company of the unsaved forever and ever. The devil and his angels, the fallen demons of hell and of the devil himself. And then verse 46 of Matthew 25 says, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. What an end. What awful consequences they are for those who obey not the gospel of God. See the seriousness of this. The awful consequences that flow from this. The awful solemnity of this. Friend, let me say to you tonight, this is the awful outcome that will await you. If you end your days refusing the gospel, if you end your days rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, this is the awful end, the awful outworking of such a life. You'll spend eternity in a lost sinner's hell, that place of everlasting woe. The Bible says, But the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. What an end. You remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, he speaks of a certain man and he says, And he died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. That was a man who died without salvation, without hearkening to the gospel, without receiving Christ as Savior. And my, the torments of hell are forever and ever. They never end. They never cease. The fires of hell can never be extinguished. The Bible speaks of those in hell and says the smoke of their torment ascendeth up, it says, forever and ever. What an awful end for those who obey not the gospel of God. Friend, this is the awful end that awaits you, that if you leave this meeting and leave this world without trusting Christ as your own and personal Savior. That's the end of a life that rejects the gospel, rejects the Son of God, rejects salvation through Christ. But friend, this need not be so, because there is a remedy for you. There's a remedy provided for your sin, a remedy provided for the awful penalty of your sin in hell, and that remedy is in Christ, the Son of God, and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the whole purpose of Christ's mission, to save lost sinners bound for hell. On this earth, what did Christ do? He lived a sinless, perfect life by keeping the law of God. That is why God the Father spoke from heaven at the baptism of Christ and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. By such a life, what has Christ done? He has provided a perfect righteousness for us, for the ungodly, for sinful man. And then by his sacrifice on the cross and by the shedding of his blood, what did he do there? He paid the penalty of our sin in full. He satisfied God's justice. Look at what Peter says there back in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 24. As he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who his own self bare our sins on his own body to the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And my, by that sacrifice upon the cross, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do for us? He purchased pardon for us. He purchased a way of forgiveness for us, guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners. Whenever you and I trust Him as Savior, repenting of our sins, what happens is that His righteousness is imputed to our account before God, and His pardon becomes our portion. That's right, friend. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to your account before God, and your sins are forgiven. They're blotted out. The slate is cleaned before the Almighty God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 39, it says of Christ, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things in which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And justification means pardon for sin. It means accepted before God as righteous before God. How? Through Christ, the mediator. Through Christ, our sin bearer. Through Christ, the sinless, eternal Son of God. Friend, this is what God offers to you in the gospel tonight. The forgiveness of all of your sins, the blotting out, the canceling of your sins, an acceptance with God through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah Sekenu. You turn with me in your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse number 2. And here we have a wonderful portrait of Christ. And I want you to see this picture, one of the greatest pictures of Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse number 2 says, and a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Who is that man? That man is the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. He's the one that shelters us from the wrath of God, from the wrath to come. You remember what God said on the night of the Passover when the deaf angel was passing over through Egypt and the firstborn son in every Egyptian home was to die. But God said to the Israelites, take a lamb without blemish, and shed its blood. Take its blood and sprinkle it upon the doorposts and the lintels of your home. And what was God's promise to every Israelite home that did that? He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. They were saved from the judgment. They were spared. They were delivered. How? Through the blood of the Lamb. And friend, how can you be saved tonight from the wrath to come? And there is a wrath to come. There is judgment for sin. How can you be saved from that, delivered from it? How can you know peace with God, forgiveness of all of your sins? How can you be accepted before God, your Maker? Dear friend, tonight it is through Christ. Through Christ alone, the one that you need to trust in is Christ. The one that you need to confess your sins to is Christ. The remedy that you need to rest upon for the forgiveness of your sins is the blood of Christ. Christ is the one that you need to trust in for acceptance with God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you be saved? How can you obtain salvation? Becoming as a sinner to Christ, just as you are. Simple, childlike faith as a repentant sinner. Trust Him, and you'll be saved. Saved from the wrath to come. Saved from being eternally separated from God. Delivered from the condemnation of God upon you. For your sin. Oh, don't go away tonight without Christ. Don't end this day without settling the matter once and for all between you and God. Come now tonight, trust Christ, receive him, and accept him by faith as your own and personal Savior. We're